Thank you for downloading this podcast. We hope you enjoy the following message from Gateway Family Church.
Today is day one in our new building, and I have a series that I would like to preach about prayer called Rise and Build, but we're gonna put that off till next week. The other day I was telling some folks, and I was saying something about, yeah, I can't wait for day one. I can't wait for day one. And all of a sudden, as I was going home one night, it was like God hit me with the idea that day one is bigger than just your first day in the church. It's bigger than just your first day in a building. And so today I want to talk about what day one means. And I probably won't take too long today, but we'll try to get through this thing. So day one, today's day one, it's a new beginning for us. It's a new beginning for this church. But here's the thing. New beginnings and day ones are just a part of life, right? Like, we're about to start school. How many of you kids that are in here today, this is your first time going to school, like real school? You're in kindergarten. Who's going to kindergarten? Put your hand down, dummy. All right, we got a couple of kindergartners in here. So it's going to be day one for you. Maybe Wednesday, going to school, right? For some of you, my wife is a teacher, and so every school year, I tell her she's got the best job in the world, because every year she gets a whole new crop of kids, and it's a day one every school year. She never knows what she's going to get. It starts all over. For some of you that Pastor Jonathan's wife, Anna, my sister-in-law, every day's a day one. She's kind of got this memory thing going on. And so it's like every day she wakes up, it's day one. And I love the fact that she doesn't hear me very well. She's just standing there just looking and smiling and nodding like, yeah, that's true. In my life, I'm a guy that loves day ones. I love new beginnings, right? I think it was something that was just beat into my DNA as a child. From the time I started kindergarten until the time I graduated high school, I was in nine different schools. As a matter of fact, by the age of 10, I had lived in 6 different cities, in 2 different states, in 3 different countries. I moved a lot. As a matter of fact, this month, my wife and I will have lived in our home for 10 years, and that's the longest I've ever lived in one home in my entire life. And I'm going to tell you, I tell her every day, let's sell the house. Every day. And it's not because I don't like my neighbors. I love my neighbors. Keith and Angie are here with us today. Keith called me yesterday and said, hey, man, what's the dress code? I said, I don't care what you wear. Shorts, you know, as long as they're not booty shorts, I don't want to see your legs, you know. He said, it's not for me. He said, I'm going to wear what I want to wear. He said, this is for Angie. I said, okay, I got you. And so, Angie, I'm glad you dressed appropriately today. Thank you very much. We have some other neighbors, too, and I hope they'll listen to this one day, that live across the street from us, and they go to Church of the Highlands. And Aaron called me one day. He said, hey, man, what do you need for your church? Like, what do you need done? I said, we need work. Like, we got a lot of stuff to do. And he said, I've got some buddies at Church of the Highlands. We're doing a serve day on the first Saturday in August. He said, will you let us come over there? And I said, sure. He said, I got about 8 guys that'll show up and help you out. And so yesterday morning we got here, and it was like 8 people showed up, and then like another 8 people showed up, and then another 8 people showed up, and they just kept coming in like ants. It was crazy. It was so nuts that we didn't know what to tell people to do. So the bathrooms, you can go in there and eat off the floor, because every time someone needed something to do, we'd be like, oh, you can clean the bathroom, and they would just go clean it again. It was already clean. So the bathrooms are super clean. So I've got good neighbors. I've got good neighbors, but I like to move. I like to move. I like change. I like stuff happening in my life. I don't like to be sitting down. I like day one. As a matter of fact, when I was in 10th grade, I started at a school, but my parents decided to move outside of the city limits where we were living. And so whenever we moved outside of the city limits, my mom could not handle the idea of misleading someone. Her integrity wouldn't let her mislead anyone. And so she went to the school and she said, I'm going to go to the school. I'm going to talk to the principal. I'm going to tell him the situation. I'm going to tell him we moved out of the city limits, but we're literally across the street. Like, it's not far away from us. And I'm sure he will let you stay at your school. And so she went and talked to the principal. And the principal said, Mrs. Wright, we hate to lose your son, but he can't stay. And so I had to change schools in 10th grade. After 1 week of being in class, I changed schools. And I loved it because whenever I went to my new school, I just decided at that point, this is day one for Gabriel Wright. Like, this is going to be a different person, not just a different school, but I'm going to be a different person. And I was able to kind of remake myself. I went from someone that was always very shy and always kind of going with the flow and doing what everybody else was doing, to really being my own person and really trying to serve God and really trying to go after Christ and really trying to make a difference in my high school. And so I took that opportunity for a day one. And so today I want to talk to you about day one, because I believe that today can be a day one in your life. I believe that some of you, you had a bad night last night. There may be some of you, you had a bad week last week. There may be some of you, you had an argument with your wife on the way over here this morning, and you're mad right now, can't even hardly hear me. And you need a day one. You need a redo. You need a fresh start. There's some of us that we just need to have that day one in our life. And as a matter of fact, the Bible talks about day ones a lot in Revelation chapter 21, verse 5, it says, "And the one sitting on the throne said, 'Look, I'm making everything new.'" God loves to make stuff new. God loves to make stuff new. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, the Bible says, "This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun." And then in Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23, it says, "The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is His faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning." God loves day one. He loves day one. He loves day one so much that He wants you to have a day one every day when you wake up. He says, tomorrow morning when you wake up, it's not about what happened yesterday, it's about what's happening right now. Today is day one. Today is day one. It doesn't matter what happened last night. It doesn't matter what happened last week. Today can be your day one. There may be some folks in here that you have a bad attitude. Maybe you said, "I'm not going to gossip anymore." And then yesterday you got on the phone with that friend and you started gossiping, right? Maybe you said, "I'm not going to drink anymore. I'm not going to look at that website anymore. I'm not going to do this anymore." And then you did it and you felt terrible about it. But today is day one. Today is day one. And guess what? Tomorrow, it's not day two. Tomorrow's day one. Every day is fresh and new with God. As a matter of fact, in Genesis chapter 1, let's go to the original day one, right? Like, this is the original day one. Genesis chapter 1. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters." Verse 3. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. "And then God saw that the light was good, and He separated the light from the darkness. And then God called the light day and the darkness night. And evening passed and morning came, making the first day." I want to just give you a few notes this morning from that passage of Scripture right there that I think we can apply to our lives today to help us with some day ones. And so I want you to look at something real quick that I thought was interesting. It says that in the beginning God created, right? In the beginning He created. But then it says that the earth was empty, it was void, it was formless. There was darkness over the earth. There was something wrong. Something happened between verse 1 and verse 2, right? Like, we don't know what happened. Some people have theories about it, but nobody really knows. But something happened, because I know my God, and my God doesn't create mess. He doesn't create trash. He doesn't create formless and void. He is a very creative God. And so when God creates, He creates good things. But something happened, and there was a formless void and darkness over the world. And so God had to come in and He had to do something about it. And that's where I think sometimes we find ourselves. Sure, we came to church and we prayed the prayer. We raised our hand. We shook somebody's hand. We went to the altar. We did whatever it is. We were at home. We cried out to God, "God, You got to save me. You got to forgive me. You got to change me." Whatever the case may be. We said, "I'm going to stop doing this. I'm going to change my life." But somewhere between the beginning and where God shows up, there was something happened. We find ourselves sometimes in this void, in this darkness, in this emptiness. I know whenever I was younger, And I would struggle. I would struggle with my life. I'd struggle with sin. And I would struggle with issues. And I remember like Sunday morning, like, you know, I've been a kids pastor before. If you've ever been a kids pastor or you've been in kids ministry before, you know, those kids get saved every Sunday, right? Like every Sunday, who needs to get saved? All of them do. And it's awesome. And I encourage it. And I encourage some of you to get saved every Sunday. I wish you would. And I do. And so I remember as a kid, I would get saved. I would pray the prayer. And then Monday would roll around and I'd do something stupid and I'd mess up. And Tuesday would come, I'd do something stupid, I'd mess up. And by Wednesday, you know, we got youth group on Wednesday night. And so Wednesday night, I'd go back to God and say, God, you got to forgive me. But by Thursday, I was back to feeling void and empty. I had guilt, but I didn't have a Savior, right? Like, I knew who Jesus was, but I wasn't living for Him. I didn't have Him living in me. And so there was this disconnect there. And so I kept feeling this void and this emptiness and worthless. And there may be some of you today that you just can't see any kind of hope in your situation. You can't see through the darkness of your situation. Maybe you're looking at your life right now and you say, I feel really empty and I do a lot of stuff to try to fill up my life. I've got a good business. I try to make money. I got a good relationships. I got a lot of friends. But nothing makes me feel full or satisfied, and you've got this emptiness, and that's exactly where the world was. And I love the fact that some of us can feel that way. I love the fact that the Bible doesn't sugarcoat it. The Bible doesn't hide that the world was empty and void and dark, because that's exactly the kind of people that God loves to work with. And so the Bible says this. It says that the Spirit is hovering. The Spirit is hovering, and I looked that word up. What does that mean to hover? And it means to vibrate or to cover with your wings. It's the same idea that the Bible would also use to talk about how a hen would cover her chicks with her wings and she shakes like this to get them all in, right? And so she wants to gather everybody together. It's the same idea that the Bible would talk about when it talks about an eagle stirring her nest. And so when a mama eagle wants her babies to learn how to fly, she begins to hover over them and spread her wings out and kind of push them out into something. So it means to protect, and it also means to prepare. And so in our moments of darkness, in our moments of feeling empty, in our moments of feeling void, in our moments of feeling like there's nothing going on, there's a Holy Spirit, there's a God that loves you so much that He hovers over you. That whenever you feel like you're under attack and you feel like everything's against you and you feel like nothing's going right, He's hovering over you to protect you. He's watching out for you. Whenever you feel like you don't know what you're going to do, when you don't know if you can make it, He's hovering over you to prepare you for what He's got for your next day. Another thing I want to point out is this. God has a vision even in the void. God has a vision even in the void. The Bible says the Spirit is hovering over darkness. What's He doing? He's thinking the whole time. He's dreaming the whole time. He's got a vision the whole time of what could be, what should be, what would be. You know, whenever we were coming into this place, this building really was almost like an empty box. There was the stage was way different. The stage had a big curve in it, which is not bad, except about right here. They just had huge steps just going all the way across, and they went all the way down. And I couldn't really understand how to fix it. And so I would come in, I would look at it. And in my mind, I didn't see the curve and the steps. In my mind, I saw this. It was so cool. Paul is here with me. But Paul Martin came in one day and he said, Pastor, what can we do with this? I said, dude, this is what I see in my mind, right? And then he took it and just built it. Like, he did this whole thing. And look, it's solid. I'm not falling through, so we're good. We made it. He said, Pastor, I'm staying up at night. I'm worried that I didn't brace that thing enough. I said, Paul, you see how little I am? I am falling through. I couldn't fall through a piece of paper up here, you know? And so I could see something that wasn't here. I could see something was here. We had a room back there, our kids' room, and I looked at that kids' room and I thought, we got to have, you know, something else for the kids. We got to have a check-in area. And I could see walls and I could see a framework there. And Perry told me, she said, no, I don't think so. She said, I can't see it. And I said, but I can see something that's not there. There's some of you that have that brain or that eye. Anna, I just made fun of her earlier, but legitimately, Anna can see things that aren't there. And sometimes she'll tell me stuff whenever she's designing, and I'll say, I don't know about that. And then whenever she does it, it looks awesome, right? And you got these people sometimes that see stuff, this artistic brain. God's that way. He looks at your life that's void and empty and dark, and He sees something amazing that you and I don't see. He's got this vision for something that you and I just can't really comprehend. We can't really grasp. There's times when I've looked at my calling in my life. I've looked at church, and there may be some of you that you've looked at your job or you've looked at your family, and you just can't see how you're going to get through. You can't see how your kid's going to get right. You can't see how you're going to get healed. But God looks at you, and God sees past the cancer, right, Kim? God can see past the issue, and God says, I got a vision for what you're going to be. And my vision for you isn't beat up. My vision for you isn't down and out. My vision for you isn't poor and destitute and lost and lonely. My vision for you is to be healthy and whole and full of life. God's got a vision, even in the void. In John chapter 11, verse 38 through 44, this is a cool story. This is a story about Jesus' best friend, one of his best friends named Lazarus. And Lazarus has died. And Jesus should have been there, right? Like Jesus heard that Lazarus is sick, and then he didn't show up until 4 days later. And in the meantime, Lazarus died. So just FYI, like if you're going to Jesus' church, right, and you go in the hospital, chances are you're not getting a visit till after you die. Just be careful. So Jesus shows up into town. When he shows up into town, everybody's crying and everybody's mourning and everybody's upset. And the Bible says that Jesus had a deep anger come up from inside of him. And I don't know what that deep anger was about. I don't know if he's mad at the people crying because they don't believe in him. I don't know if he's mad at the devil because his friend is dead or he's mad at death. I don't know. But he's mad. And I love in verse 38, it says, Jesus was still angry when he arrived at the tomb. Now, if you don't understand the fact, and this doesn't have anything to do with the message, I just like this part. So if you're new here, I pause every so often just to tell you what I like about the verses. They don't mean anything, but they're cool. So Jesus was still angry. You got to understand that to understand the rest of the verse and how he talks. Because we get this lily white Jesus with long blonde hair showing up at the tomb saying, Lazarus, come forth. You know, and that's not who Jesus was at all. He wasn't white, didn't have blonde hair. And so Jesus was still angry, and he arrived at the tomb, a cave with a stone rolled across its entrance, which is where a lot of us feel like we live sometimes, in some old cave with a stone rolled across the entrance, like we're dead and we're done and we're in the dark. And Jesus said in verse 39, roll the stone aside. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested, Lord, he's been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible. Jesus responded, didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe? So they rolled the stone aside, and Jesus looked up to heaven, and with one of the coolest prayers and most smart-aleck prayers I've ever heard in my life, said, Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, but I said it out loud for the sake of all these people standing around so they'll believe you sent me. I love that. What a jerk, right? Like, that's a terrible thing. Like, Jesus is saying, Father, you always hear me. And I know it, but I'm saying it out loud so all these people will know it. Because they don't get it. Like, can you imagine if I started praying today and I was like, God, we just want people to get saved. Just like Julianne, she needs to get saved, God. If she would just stop sinning all the time. You know, like, that would be terrible. But that's how Jesus prayed. He was ruthless, savage, cutthroat. Verse 43, then Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come out. Now look, he wasn't shouting because Lazarus was deaf. He was dead. Like he was totally deaf, apparently. He was shouting because he's angry, right? So get that in your mind. This is not Jesus. This is Jesus. He's shouting at somebody. Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes. Again, sorry, ADD just got me. I'm thinking about someone being bound hand and feet and coming out of a grave. How'd he get out? My dude was either hopping or rolling. I don't know, but he had to get out somehow. I can see him just rolling out like, here I am. I'm coming. Don't close the door. I'll be there in a minute. Uh-oh, but it says his face was wrapped in a headcloth too, so it's more like, I'm coming. Jesus told them, unwrap him and let him go. Now look, I need to stop telling jokes and be serious for a minute. Mary and Martha and all the people, they're all crying, they're mad. And they're mad at Jesus because he didn't show up on time. And all they see is a dead man in a tomb. All they see is a dark place. All they see is a stone. All they see is a cave. That's all they can see. All they can think about is that he stinks and he'll never come out of that grave. But what does Jesus see? Jesus doesn't see a dead man. Jesus sees a man that's alive. Jesus sees a man that's healthy and whole. Jesus sees a man praising him. Jesus sees a man serving him. And so whenever Jesus speaks, he doesn't speak to what we see. He speaks to what he sees. And sometimes we pray about what we see when we should be praying about what he sees. We need to stop praying about, God, get me out of this. And we need to start praying, God, you got something else for me. Get me to there. Help me get to where I need to be. Prepare me for what I need to be. Holy Spirit, hover over me. Protect me from myself and prepare me for my future, for my day one. We got to see what Jesus sees. He's got a vision even in the void. He sees what you don't see. One more thing. God likes to speak light into our darkness. God likes to speak light into our darkness. At the beginning of creation, the Bible says he hovered over the darkness and he spoke and light appeared. And then he looked at that light and he looked at that darkness and said, these two things can't work together. We're going to separate these two out. We're going to separate these two out. That darkness is the devil. That darkness is sin. That darkness is selfishness. That darkness is living your own way. But that light is different. Look at this. John chapter 1. And I promise I'm almost done. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word is capitalized there because it's talking about Jesus. The Word was with God and the Word was God. So some of you real quick that say, why do I have to read my Bible? You need to read. You don't have to. You need to read your Bible because the Bible is the Word and the Word is Jesus. So when you read the Word, you become more like him, right? He existed in the beginning with God and God created everything through him and nothing was created except through him. Check this out. The Word gave life to everything that was created and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness and the darkness can never extinguish it. There's some of you that you may be sitting in a dark place today. Your heart may be in a dark place today. Your mind, your attitude may be in a dark place today. But there is a God who speaks light into the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome the light. That should give us some hope this morning. That should give us a little bit of hope to say that, hey, as long as I've got Christ in my life, he is the light. And no matter how dark it feels like it is outside, no matter how dark it feels like it is in my life, the darkness will never overcome the light. It'll never overcome the light. We've got a God that's a conqueror. He's an overcomer. And he makes you and I to be the same thing. So let me close today. What are we going to do with our day one? So if today's a day one, if God loves day ones, for Lazarus, day one was not the day he was born. Day one was the day he got out of the tomb, right? For God, day one, He speaks light into darkness. For some of us, today is our day one. And guess what? Tomorrow will be day one again, right? So what are we going to do with our day one? Here's the thing I think we miss in church a lot of times, in Christianity a lot of times, in today's society. We miss the idea. We think, well, his mercies are new every morning. Every day is a day one. So it doesn't matter how I live today, because tomorrow is a new day one, right? And while theoretically that's true, tomorrow is a new day one, the Bible says, Paul says, you shouldn't go on sinning because you know God's got grace for you. You don't sin because you know God's going to forgive you. Because guess what happens? What if you die on day one? You're in trouble, Jack. You don't get another day one after that. Your next day one is standing before God, right? So what do I do with my day one now? Like, how do I live my day one now? Well, I got two things for you. Number one, you need to forget the past. Forget the past. I think that's where we struggle a lot, is we live in the past. I can't do anything. You know, Pastor, I can't do anything in the church because you don't know what I did last week. I can't help this person out because you don't know what I did. I can't worship God because I did something bad. I can't worship God. We live in the past. I can't love people because of what they did to me. I've been hurt and I can't move on. We live in the past. See, it's one thing to think about you getting a day one, but what if it's you having to give someone else a day one? What if there's someone in your life today, and part of the reason you're feeling like you're empty and void and stuck in a cave is because they're waiting on a day one from you. They're waiting on some forgiveness from you. They're waiting on a release from you. And until you're willing to do it, you're stuck in the cave just like they are. Sometimes it's not about just us getting a day one. It's about them. We got to learn to forget the past. This is one of my favorite verses. I say this every Sunday about some verse. They're all really good. Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. It says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. What do I do with my day one? I forget yesterday. I forget yesterday. When my wife and I have an argument, it doesn't happen very often. She usually wins when we do. When my wife and I have an argument, one of the things that I've become really good at is I just move on, right? Like we'll have an argument and some people will hold on to that. And like even 3 days later, they're still mad. And you're like, why are you mad? Well, 3 days ago, you said, you know what I mean? My wife and I, like, we'll have an argument. We'll be mad or whatever. And 5 minutes later, I'm not kidding. I'm not saying how great I am. This is just, maybe it's because something's wrong with me, right? I don't know. But like 5 minutes later, I'm like, it's all good. And I start talking to her again. She's like, how are you talking to me like that right now? Like, how are you just being normal again? We just had an argument. I was like, I just forgot about that. Like, that's done. Like, we did have an argument. That's over. We gotta learn to forget the past and move on. Here's the other thing. We got to learn to make every day a day one. Like, you got to make it. The key phrase here is make, not day one. I know we're saying every day is a day one, but you got to make it be day one. Check this out. And this is where we're going to close. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 21 through 24. Since you've heard about Jesus and you've learned the truth that comes from Him, we just did all that, right? Throw off your sinful nature. I'll give you a chance to do that in a minute. And your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. So right off the bat, he says, throw off. That means to discard. That means to take something. It would be like if I took off a shirt or took off a jacket. You're throwing something away from you. Have you ever seen the basketball players with the tearaway pants? That's what it makes me think of. It's time to get in the game. Where they stand up, they grab their pants, and whoosh, they just throw them in the air. They're gone. And so Paul's saying, you've got to learn to throw away, throw off your old former way of life. Verse 23 is so cool. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes, because thoughts and attitudes become actions, right? And so he says, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes. In verse 24, put on a new nature created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Paul puts it in a way that says that we have something to do with it. I often sit around and I want God to put a new nature on me, right? Have you ever had little, a lot of you have had little kids. I see them around the room right now. But have you ever, like, you're trying to get your kid dressed in the morning. You're trying to get your kid dressed for church or for school. And when they're real little, they're like, they don't want to get dressed. And so they just kind of flop on the floor. And they want you to put their pants on for them, right? And me, as a dad, I'm not a very good dad. And so I'm just like, no, you can go to church in your underwear as far as I'm concerned. Like, your mom will bring you. I'm leaving. You know, like, I'm not doing all this stuff. You're old enough. I'm like, Gabriel, you're 13. I'm not putting your pants on for you. And we do that to God. We say, we expect God to put our righteousness on us. We expect God to put our holiness on us. But Paul says it's your job. Every day, day one, you wake up and you say, today I'm putting on righteousness. Today, I'm putting on holiness. It's not that I think I'm better than somebody else, but when the enemy comes against me, whenever I get tempted to look at that website, when I get tempted to get on the phone and gossip, when I get tempted to drink that or smoke that or do this or do that, when I get tempted, I remember what I'm wearing. I'm not wearing my old clothes. I'm wearing my new clothes. And I can't be getting messy in my new clothes. We got a friend of ours. He's a pastor in Mobile at the Gateway Family Church in Mobile. And his wife makes fun of him because when he was in high school, he would buy new shoes. And he would keep a rag on his shoulder. I think you know where I'm going. He would take a few steps. Wipe off those shoes. Those are his new shoes. He had to wipe them off. He'd walk around. They said it took him forever to get anywhere because he had to stop every two or three steps to wipe off his shoes. I said, Amy, you're lying. She said, ask him. I said, Marcus, what did you used to do with the shoes? Wipe them off every couple steps. Got to keep them looking good. Got to be fresh. I think we need to remember that when we wake up and we put on that righteousness, when we put on that holiness, I can't be getting down with the pigs and playing in the mud in this, right? Like this isn't what I get dirty in. These are my good clothes. So every day we make it day one. You make it day one. You don't ask God to make it. You make it day one.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more info about Gateway Family, visit our website, gatewayfamily.cc.